Did you hear Netflix announce the greatest movie of all time a couple days ago?
I think I actually missed this one.
Okay, well, this okay. There's many aspects to why this is incredible news. First of all, it's an Adam Sandler movie.
Okay.
Right off the bat, they just put one out that people seem to like. I haven't watched it yet.
The Hubie Halloween movie?
Yeah.
Oh, is that actually supposed to be good?
I've heard positive things. I don't know, I don't know what kind of good, but people don't hate it. I think people generally.
Adam Sandler movie. It's gonna be a certain type of good.
So first of all, it's a basketball Adam Sandler basketball movie, which he just made one that was pretty good, Uncut Gems.
That was a great movie. Yeah.
This one is called Hustle. Now, is there not a movie that is called Hustle that came out like last year?
Hustler came out, which is pretty close.
Hustle?
But that was about strippers scamming their way to the top.
Wait.
I would watch the movie of Adam Sandler stripping, scamming his way to the top. That's what's called.
Oh, I'm on board for that as well. But no, it's even better. So in 2019, there's a movie called The Hustlers, which you just mentioned. There's also a movie called The Hustle. Do you remember that one? That was I think I watched The Hustle.
It's a good name for a movie, though. Like, anything with Hustle in it, I get it. It's very popular. Rightfully so.
It's Rebel Wilson's in it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
and,
about.
The famous actress who's also in it. Fuck.
Oh, that one, of course.
I'm totally blanking. And for some reason, Anne Hathaway. For some reason, her name, you had to go deep in this article to find her name. But yeah, The Hustle and Hustlers came out last year, but now we have Hustle. I don't know what year it's supposed to come out. I'm assuming next year or something. There's a lot of incredible news here. So yeah, first of all, Adam Sandler, basketball movie we're in. The premise is also great. Sandler stars as a scorned basketball scout who discovers a talented player with a questionable past abroad and decides to bring him to the U.S. to make them both NBA stars.
Wait, how does that make Sandler an NBA star?
A star scout?
I don't think that's a thing. I don't know any fucking scouts.
Queen Latifah's in it. Robert Duvall's in it.
Holy shit. Okay.
But most dear to my heart. Oh, and I guess Kenny Smith is in it. Like Kenny the Jet Smith. But I'm assuming he's some sort of maybe there's like a TNT scene, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. But near and dear to my heart. I believe the basketball star in question is gonna be Juancho Hernan Gomez, former Nuggets legend.
Fucking guy.
current Minnesota Timberwolf. We traded him at the trade deadline. He doesn't play. He had a different 3-point celebration for every Nugget, though. Like every single one on the team.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
How did Netflix? How is this the biggest star Netflix could get?
So it's. I don't know. I'm assuming he is Spanish. I'm assuming. You know, they said he's in Europe or abroad, the player.
But like, go get Blake Griffin and have him do like a Russian accent or something. That'd be incredible.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Even better. So I don't know if you know this. The teams that weren't invited to the bubble, they all had a mini camp, like last month.
Yeah.
Just so like they didn't spend literally 9 to 12 months not playing.
That makes sense.
He missed it to film this movie.
I love it.
And I like I said, he was traded to them in February. The season was suspended in March. So he's literally not been around. Like it's not even like he's been a member of the team for an established period of time.
Yeah, no, he's really, I'm sure the coach loved that one.
I mean, it was supposed to be the off season, you know, like
that's
when this was probably scheduled.
You can't really blame him on a certain level.
Yeah. And he's not going to not be in this fucking movie. Are you kidding?
No, you got to. I feel like everybody on the team is like, dude, you're going to go with Adam Sandler. Fuck yeah. Where does the movie take place? Like, Because that's a big thing with Sandler movies, you know? Like, is he going to be Hawaii? Is he going to spend his time in Spain?
So I think it has to be set in Spain.
Yeah, right?
Because, like, one, there's not a lot of other reasons why Juancho would be chosen. I mean, Juancho, like, kind of looks like a movie star, honestly. Like, he looks more like a movie star than a basketball player.
Yeah.
He's kind of...
What, you know, how do you spell his name?
It's like Juan and then CHO at the end. There's not a lot of Juanchos, and Hernan Gomez is like Hernandez, but it's in Gomez.
Kind of put I'll just go with Gomez and guess that.
I can send you this picture from the set real quick.
Oh, do that, because my computer can barely move.
This looks. This is in America, I think. No, this is definitely in America. If you look at, like, the street signs and stuff, they're all... I think that this is...
So there's another... there's a Juan Gomez from, like, the 1700s with, like, a really old-fashioned mustache that you could twirl.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's always fun.
This is Juancho and Adam Sandler on set. Which, first of all, I love Adam Sandler's look for this.
God, Adam Sandler is so freaking likable.
It looks like he just pulled clothes out of his closet, like Big Lebowski style. He's wearing like a sweater and a loose fitting khakis.
Yeah, it's super relatable. Like, that's what we would wear. I'm pretty sure I wore my blue Clippers hoodie every day in Europe.
I do remember a lot of pictures of that.
He's not too far off. Yeah, Adam Sandler, man. I think I have seen that photo, actually. It looks very familiar.
Yeah. I mean, it was all over Twitter when they announced the movie a couple days ago now, from Netflix's account.
Have you heard of Adam McKay's new movie?
Oh, I have. What is it? I remember hearing, like, oh, that's interesting that Adam McKay is doing that, but I don't remember what it is.
I can't remember what it's called.
What's it about?
Well, let me look it up. But the cast was like just stupid. It's a Netflix movie, and it's got a cost just like.
Oh yeah, is it tens and hundreds Ariana Grande, Meryl Streep, and Leonardo DiCaprio?
That one. Yes, but that's like not even it. It goes like five or six people deep.
It's called Don't Look Up.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Were you assuming I was going to talk about this movie instead of the Juancho Hernan Gomez Adam Sandler movie? Oh, Timothy Chalamet is in it.
J-Law's in it. Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence,
Matthew Perry, Jonah Hill, Cate Blanchett. Jesus, what is this movie? What is it even about? Why is everyone doing this movie?
It's like a climate change thing. So like.
Oh, everyone wants their name attached to it.
Yeah, but it's like not exactly that. It's like the sky's falling, or aliens are coming, or comets coming, and about like a few scientists try to warm the world, but nobody listens. So
it makes sense why Leo's in it too.
Yeah.
Is it going to be like The Big Short, but climate change style?
I hope so, because I fucking love The Big Short. That movie was great. And I feel Adam McKay gets just a ton of stars. He must be a super good guy.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, maybe that was like his master plan. It was just like, what is Leo's big thing is climate change. How can we? Yeah, damn. This is also wow. So it's gonna be. I mean, those are two just bangers that are gonna be fighting for the Oscar next year. Hustle and this movie.
Equally excellent in prestige.
I don't even know if Hustle's actually coming out next year. They just announced it. So, I mean, they're filming it. They obviously just filmed it, because I know Juancho missed practice. I don't know if they released it,
too. I mean, it's not even like he's a star. Like, he's probably going to struggle to make the team, you know? And he's like, fuck it. I'm going to Spain with Adam Sandler.
I don't think there's a date on it. It still just says filming. Yeah, so maybe that other movie will get lucky and this one won't come out till like 2022 or something.
Yeah. Because no movie has a chance against The Hustle.
I can tell you one person who's going to watch it. And that's me. Alrighty. Well, we watched a movie that was neither of those two movies.
And it was a banger.
It was. This is episode 86 of the Noah and Eric Show. We are back doing another movie. The Spooktacular is over. It was a fun Spooktacular.
It was a good one. It's kind of sad having it be done. I'm not going to lie. We watched our movies the lead up. Mm-hmm. And I watched one since. And it feels like a part of my life is gone now. Like, it became a huge, like, thing just to, like, prepare for that episode.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's weird because, like, you know, we record these episodes not a huge amount in the future, but a little bit. And and so it feels like Halloween hasn't happened for us yet. But, like, it kind of feels over to me because Spooktacular's over.
The season's done. Absolutely. I've already moved on to Thanksgiving.
Like, other people were talking about, like, watching scary movies, and I was like, oh, I just watched, like, 15 of those. No, it's on to the next one. All right, so this is episode 86. We watched a movie. It is called... Should we say what it's called yet? I guess it will probably be in the title of the episode. So,
probably.
I know. I always forget that.
We kind of hold on to like the title of the movies. You know, we like kind of tease it out a little bit, but they already know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good episode names for this one. With the Rock, the movie is The Rock, by the way.
The movie is The Rock.
A lot of good stuff because you can like relate it to The Rock Johnson, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, and a physical rock.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll
come up with something.
It's gonna be a good one though.
Yeah, The Rock. I had never seen this movie before. Have you heard about this movie?
No, I've not.
Okay.
I've not.
I heard about it like loosely, but it came up because we were. I think it came up because we were talking once again about Mandy, as we do. And we started looking up like Nick Cage, iconic Nick Cage performances, and this is one, and it is one.
It is a Nick Cage movie. I feel like I haven't seen a ton of Nick Cage movies, but I mean, just living in this world, you know him and you know what his movies are. And this is a quintessential Nick Cage movie.
Yeah.
He's throwing fastballs. He's bringing his A game on this one.
There's certain, like... The Nick Cage as a bad actor thing, that was a weird moment in time, wasn't it? Like...
It was. It was a long moment, too.
I feel like people just didn't you gotta embrace it. Maybe it's like the nepotism thing, which I didn't really know about till like recently.
Does he have a parent in the business?
He is the nephew of Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh shit, I did know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking mind-blowing. That's crazy.
It blew my mind when I learned that. I was
That doesn't even make sense.
I tried to find like several different sources to confirm it because I didn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Nick Cage is he does a certain type of thing incredibly well, and that type of thing I feel like it's not like it's Oscar worthy. It's not The Godfather, you know. It's just wildly entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he did win an Oscar. I have not seen that movie though, Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh shit! Yeah, he did win an Oscar, didn't he?
Yeah, but like, yeah, you're right. That's not really what he's become known for.
Have you seen Raising Arizona?
No.
That's an interesting. He played. It's almost a comedy. It's a Coen Brothers movie.
Uh huh.
And he's really good in that. It's very different from Mandy and from The Rock too.
Isn't he also in like Adaptation? Isn't that That's him too.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a good movie. He's supposed to be really good in that too. He's low key got range. He got pegged in for a little bit, for a few years, but yeah, he can do a lot.
He also doesn't use the
pro Nick Cage podcast.
Oh, absolutely. He also doesn't use the Coppola name, because his real name is Nicholas Coppola. It's a fun fact before the movie even started.
That is a good fact. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're an episode away from the fun facts, and we're already bringing the heat.
Yeah.
Objectively, the Nick Cage is a better name. Like that's an elite fucking name.
Oh yeah, it's badass.
Really, all of Nick Cage is badass.
All right. I'm on his Wikipedia page, and I just saw a sentence that he owned the most haunted house in America.
It's in New Orleans. Nicholas Cage owns that. It's so on.
It's exactly what he would spend his money on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we watched The Rock. There it is. There's the information I needed. The Rock, 1996. Michael Bay film. I didn't really expect to do a Michael Bay film, to be honest, but here we are. And I'm not mad.
The year 2020. It's what we're doing. God damn.
Let's see here. Yeah, 1996. What an interesting career.
Michael Bay?
Yeah. He hasn't directed very many movies.
Has he not? He seems like the type of dude that will just put out movie after movie, you know?
So I'm counting... So he's 14, and there's a 15th upcoming. I'm going to read through his filmography, because it's very interesting. His first movie ever was Bad Boys, 1995, which I did know he
directed.
He did Bad Boys.
Oh, shit.
The second movie was The Rock.
I still need to watch that. I couldn't tell you anything about it.
The second movie was The Rock. Third was Armageddon, which people generally like.
That's supposed to be a classic.
And then the fourth, he did Pearl Harbor, which I think is good. Then he did Bad Boys 2. And then he did a movie called The Island, which I have not really heard much about.
That feels too similar to The Rock. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. And then he did Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, Transformers Dark Side of the Moon, a movie called Pain and Gain, and then Transformers Age of Extinction.
What is Pain and Gain?
I have no idea. He did the Benghazi movie, and then he did Transformers The Last Night, and then he did Six Underground.
A great movie.
Yeah. Pain and Gain received mixed reviews. They praised the acting and script and criticized the violence, directing, and historical inaccuracies.
Yeah, that sounds like a Michael Bay movie right there.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in Pain and Gain.
Aha! I'm surprised it's not a bigger hit then.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting indeed. Okay. None of those movies, well, except The Rock, is The Rock, which is the one we watched.
Definitely the best one we listed, except for Armageddon, probably, from what I've heard.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready? So this movie takes place... do we know what year is? I think it's just 96. It's like modern times.
I assume
for when it came out.
Yeah. Loki, like, I don't think I appreciated it enough in the moment. It's kind of an old movie.
Yeah, it feels like it.
24 years is a long time ago, and I feel like
quarter of a century.
Quarter of a century. We're old as fuck. Holy shit.
Well, speak for yourself. We're the same age now. I can't really make that joke.
Yeah, you can't. It was
just
a good.
Just wait till February, you piece of shit.
Yeah, you're old as shit, Aaron. Yeah. But I felt like the action scenes lived up. That didn't feel dated much at all.
Mm-mm. The opening scene is we meet Ed Harris, the general.
Oh, yeah.
He's just such like a. He can play a military man.
He can, and he can play like the disgruntled, like kind of like turned bat. Like he nails this character.
Yeah,
I would follow him into the war 100%.
Yeah. So we don't really know what he's up to. We know he's up to something. You know, he visits his wife's headstone. So we know she's passed away. And he says,
I love it on the headstone. It's literally says his wife on it. Just in case we didn't pick up that it was Ed Harris's wife.
Is that a thing they do in military grave sites?
I don't know. I think Michael Bay is just not subtle in any way.
Oh, we know that's for sure. And then, yeah, he does like the, forgive me for what I'm about to do, but I had to do it. I couldn't do it while you were still here. I think he says something like that. So you know shit's about to go down. We see him like lead a military unit into some sort of U.S. Top secret base, high security base because they have top secret weapons there.
Yeah, it says like U.S. Naval, something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it says right on, like there's practically a sign saying what this is. Again, not subtle.
That's not this movie.
No, if you're looking for a subtle movie, get the fuck out of here.
And then they steal these mysterious green orbs. And again, just absolutely flawless. One of the green orbs like breaks and it just like completely fries like one of his men.
So
you know what the consequences are of the green bubbles.
It's intense consequences. They got like bubbles on the face. He's like on the other side of the window looking.
Yeah, they like close them. They like lock him in the vault.
It was pretty brutal. They don't fuck around. You like watch him die. It was gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
It was well done.
The next day, Ed Harris. He's Brigadier General Frank Hummel. Is his name. So Hummel and his crew.
That's a great name for a general, Frank Hummel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They nailed it. They nailed.
They get the details right in this movie.
So then he and his fellow military people who, stole all the secret weapons and the green orbs, they take over Alcatraz. And they take, 81 tourists who are on the island hostage. They take it down. They take over the island and they set up the missiles ready to, to threaten the city of San Francisco that they're going to launch these green orbs at.
Just fuck it up.
There's a great scene with like him introducing all of his men, they're all like they all kind of go around in a circle and kind of say their names, which is nice.
That is a great scene. I love that scene too, because it also makes no goddamn sense. They're like introducing, he's explaining the plot, like how they're gonna do it, like mm-hmm. right before they do it, and it's like you shouldn't, this is not when you should be doing this.
They're introducing him. Because, I guess the premise is, some of them, served under him, and some of them were, from a different unit, but, feel the same way he does, as we're about to learn what his real motivations are. But, they're getting introduced after they've commandeered the weapon, and then taken hostages on this island the next day.
It's too late. You're already in too deep. What the hell are these people doing? how are you just following this dude?
Also, I love one of his men is Dr. Cox.
Yes.
That man has range.
He has fucking range. It threw me off the entire movie. The entire movie, mm-hmm. I was like, I knew it was him, and I was just like, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing right now. Go yell at JD, call him a girl, you know? That's your job.
Okay, so then Hummel, they set up, like, comms and stuff, and he calls, like, the FBI director? Isn't that who he called first?
Yeah, I think it was.
He said, we've taken over Alcatraz. We have 81 hostages. We have set up these missiles, and they're pointed at the city. Does he tell the whole plot there, or does he wait till, like, they're in the Situation Room? I think he does it in the Situation Room or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
So the FBI director's like, well, shit. And then so they all gather all the, you know, Joint Chiefs of Staff and all that. And then Hummel makes his formal demand. So he wants $100 million from an account that he knows is just like a weapons or like a military slush fund, basically. And he wants that to be distributed to the men and his families from his black ops missions who died and whose families were like lied to about their deaths, basically.
Yeah. Lied to, they weren't taken care of, you know, they were like shunted from the government. They were fucked.
Right. So he's like, you know, he's not a total monster.
You know? No, he's got very good causes. For most of this movie, I'm kind of rooting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Something about that scene I love, though, was the phone kept getting passed to different people in the Situation Room, and Ed Harris every time was like, "Who am I speaking to right now?" And every time he just fucking nailed the line. Who gives a shit? They're on speakerphone. Everybody can hear you, man.
Yeah.
It cracked me up. But it was also really cool. Like, I kind of bought in, but it was also ridiculous. Yeah. Which is really the whole movie.
Yeah. Who's speaking?
Yeah.
They also have, like, that great line where he was like, oh, where, like, the army people were like, oh, he was one of our best generals. Like, he's a dangerous man. He knows what he's doing. You know, like... and yeah, he tells them, like, what he stole is, they call it VX gas. That's what it's called.
That is a good name for the gas. Of the most intimidating letters we
and
have.
And it's just to the point, you know? Like, it's just the gas.
You didn't make up some boring shit that, like, would confuse people. It's to the point. Exactly.
And so, yeah, that's the... I think that he gives him, like, 48 hours? Or is it maybe less? 36? It was, like, 36 hours. It was a weird time.
Yeah, it's got to be specific, you know?
Right. They had 36 hours to, like, to get the $100 million to where he told them to, or else he's gonna murder all of San Francisco. And we're off.
we're off, man.
We're introduced to Nick Cage, and he works for the FBI, and he is their chemical weapons specialist.
Yeah, and he's a scientist, he's a nerd, and I love, like, everything. Like, when we first meet him, he's surrounded by a bunch of people in white coats, but he's wearing a suit.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm kind of very confused about, but they establish he's a nerd, like, right away, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he bought a record on vinyl.
Oh, I knew you'd love that
record.
Yeah,
yeah, which didn't age well because records are now very cool.
That was like, I saw that, I was like, that's funny that they're doing.
And then
this.
He, like, called himself a Beatles maniac.
Yeah. That's, like, his opening thing is, like, a monologue about how he loves the Beatles, and therefore I'm a nerd.
If there's any secret to why I love this movie, it's kind of just that. That's a big chunk of it.
Also, and, like, another low-key part, FBI gets a hold of some VX gas that they test, which I didn't really understand how it popped up exactly at this time. Is that related?
I would hope that the U.S. government already knows a ton about this type of gas. They have a
stockpile
of it, you know?
Yeah.
this wasn't the beginning phases. Why, like, the FBI, this isn't the FBI's job. They shouldn't have to figure this out.
Yeah. Anyway,
Cool scene, though.
That is a cool scene, because they, like, fuck it up. Well, his, like, partner fucks it up or whatever, and then they almost die. But he, like, keeps his cool, you know?
Because Nick Cage is the coolest goddamn person.
Yeah. Okay.
So, then, yeah. A debate, maybe we save this for the second episode, that I've been thinking a lot about, is who's cooler, Nicolas Cage or Keanu Reeves?
We'll just let that
simmer for a little bit, okay?
Let's let that simmer to next week.
Yeah.
Nick Cage's name in this movie is Stanley Goodspeed.
Great name.
Yeah.
Stanley, awesome. A nerd. I just like the name Goodspeed.
So the FBI director is, like, you know, pissed, and the government is, like, not going to willingly give up the 100 mil. They're going to try and figure out another way to...
No. And they do this in a meeting. They're trying to figure it out, and, like, one of the dudes, like, what? How much can this, like, this thing kill? Like, 60 people? Like, it was like, okay, we can survive with 60 people dead. And then it was like the entire city. And they're like, oh, I guess we can't do that. Which feels super realistic now. If anything, they would totally let San Francisco die instead of paying the money.
Yeah.
This is not about negotiating with terrorists. It's just about the money.
Yeah. Yeah. I love, like, they never even considered it. Like, they never even considered just paying the money.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even something that someone brought up and shot down. It was like, well, we're not going to do that. Like, they hang up with him and they're like, all right, how are we going to kill this fucker? Like,
yeah. This dude that has, like, kind of a good point.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the FBI director, his plan involves, like, having, like, a special SEAL team operation. With the help of his chemical specialist team, which is where Nick Cage will come into play. And then they also get the idea of a man that they have in, like, top secret custody, who is the only man to escape Alcatraz and survive. And yes. It's one of those things, it's like, it's the classic, you know, there is another option, you know, and the other one's like, oh, it's too dangerous, we can't go back there, you know.
It's like, yeah, the dude immediately knows who he's talking about. It's all secretive and shit.
So they decide they're gonna go talk to this prisoner that they have.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It kind of feels like the Michael Bay version of Hannibal Lecter.
Kind of, yeah.
In a way,
the way they
do
this scene, yeah.
I see. Yeah.
We learn that this is a British special operative. We don't know why he was taken into custody just yet. But this is played by, his name is Captain John Patrick Mason, and this is played by, of course, Sean Connery.
Who the one and only
nails it.
Fucking nails it. Yeah. He was born to play this part.
Should we talk about fan theories now, or should we just hold that till the next episode?
Let's save that one.
Okay. So Sean Connery, they, like, put him in an interrogation room, and they want to, basically, they're willing to cut a deal. They're going to offer him kind of like a pardon. If he helps them out, if he tells them how to break into Alcatraz, because he's done it before, and, you know, that's basically the deal. He gets out scot free.
Yeah, and the first person they send in, he kind of, like, it says fuck off, you know, like, it doesn't work. They have to send in Nicolas Cage.
He's like the young, boisterous FBI agent, you know.
Yeah, he's trying to make it in this world. You know, you're not supposed to like him. You're not really supposed to like anybody in the FBI except for Nicolas Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another... this whole movie was something that aged incredibly well. Was the government is just the worst. You know? Like, they kind of, like, nailed that.
Yeah.
Very anti-government in the United States, this movie is.
Oh, and then I forgot. There's the weird scene with Nicolas Cage and his girlfriend where
wait, was this with them fucking?
Well, yeah.
Or is this later?
Like, no, this is when he finds out that she's pregnant.
Oh my god, yes! The scene! This scene is when I knew this movie would be great.
Yeah, they're talking, and he's like, I don't know, being a nerd. And then she was like, do you ever want kids? And he's like, no. And then she's like, well, we're pregnant.
No, it's not even, he's like, he goes on like a 2-minute rant of being like how bringing kids to this world would be like an evil thing to do. And then she's like, well, you were kidding when you were saying that. And he was like, no, but like things, like I've learned new information.
Yeah, that's what he says.
What a fucking asshole.
Oh, it's so funny.
God bless him.
Yeah. I just love that though, because like she's gonna visit him in the city is like the plan. So like it's just like, in case the stakes of the whole city of San Francisco weren't enough, we need the personal stakes of,
yeah,
not the pregnant, not just his girlfriend, his pregnant girlfriend is gonna be in the city.
I love it.
So yeah, so Nick Cage does the interrogation. And he does a bad job, but he ultimately, you know, they get what they
need. It's kind of endearing at the same time.
Yeah, he does a bad job in like, yeah, you're right, an endearing way, where Sean Connery is just bullying him, basically.
At the end of the scene, Nicolas Cage walks out, and something I loved was Sean Connery, just to know, so we know how dangerous he is, he like takes a broken coin that he like uses his chair to crush on, breaks out of his like environments, and on the glass window draws a circle in the glass with the coin and breaks the glass. Which is ridiculous. I don't think that's how glass works. Drawing a circle with a coin is not going to break it.
I mean, you're not, it doesn't make it weaker. British operative.
True. I mean, if Sean, like, who am I to say I know more than Sean Connery?
Yes, yeah, it's incredibly badass. So then, like, so part of the negotiations is like they have to like give him a haircut and like clean him up. So they they take him to a hotel room. They do all that.
This part did not age well.
No, I was going to just skip over it, but it's safe to say this is aged extremely poorly.
This is a low point of the movie.
For sure, absolutely. Yeah, the comedy parts really of the whole movie didn't land. Largely. The comedy bits did not land.
No. And
it's just it's a aging thing. Like, kind of like the Beatles record thing, I think was supposed to be funny. And I was just like,
yeah.
I just said, oh, when he's after that.
It's a very hip hobby you have, Nicolas Cage.
This is not like that, though. This was bad. But anyway, he gets the haircut and they, like, clean him up and stuff. But he, like, because he's Sean Connery and, you know, just an elite British operative, he breaks out. He leaves.
Yeah, this dude is dangerous.
Yeah. There's an awesome, like, chase scene with Sean Connery.
This scene lasted so long. it blew up the entire city of San Francisco.
That's the other thing I was thinking, like, how much did they spend to not spend $100 million? I think it's quite a bit.
Especially
with like the stuff they do later.
Yeah, no, this movie was pricey. We'll get into it in the fun facts, but the execs were pushing back quite a lot.
Oh, I was talking about like within the plot, like the government spent
of money. Oh my god, yeah, like no kidding. Like way more than $100 million.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The destruction of San Francisco? Oh my god. And I get don't negotiate terrorists, but get the fuck out of here. It's about the money.
Right, that was the whole thing. It was about the money. Like, if you don't want to pay the $100 million, but like, it's like they're willing to spend whatever it costs to not spend $100 million. Like, that's what it felt like the whole time.
They like just have a trolley car destroy a city block.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, he breaks out, and then he finds his daughter, because he has a daughter.
Yeah. Because of course he does.
Yeah. But they like, you know, and that's where like the chase ends, and they find him. Which again, more stakes that we need for San mm-hmm. Francisco. You know, he's a daughter who lives there. You can't let the city die.
Because the daughter's there. Right. Fuck everyone else.
So then he wasn't like escape. He wasn't escaping to not help them. He was escaping to meet up with his daughter, and then he goes back to them, and they prepare for the mission, right?
Yeah.
The mission. So the mission is basically Sean Connery, with his vast knowledge of Alcatraz, is going to lead a SEAL team and Nick Cage. And Nick Cage is there because he's like the chemical weapons expert. He knows how to like disable chemical weapon bombs and stuff. He's going to lead them in because they don't know how to get in sneakily. And then
it's up to Sean Connery. It's the dream team.
Right. And then
MJ and Pippin.
Yeah. And then they're going to kill the general? Is that the plan? I don't really know what their end game was. Just to stop the attack?
It was kind of just sneak in and then figure it out from there.
Yeah.
I don't think they like said it at all.
Right. So yeah, so the mission starts. Very badass scene.
Where they're the approach scene?
Yeah, with the choppers.
This was a major flex by Michael Bay. Like just having like a water approach scene with scuba divers mm-hmm. going through the water. It was really fucking cool.
Yeah. And of course like the bad guys, you know, General Hummel and his men, they like, you know, they cuz they set up all the military shit. So like they see bogeys coming. It's probably what they said.
They know shit's happening. They're no fools.
No, they're no fools. So Sean Connery leads them to like this weird, like, ventilation room. I don't even know what that was.
Yeah.
They find an entrance.
It's like a boiler room.
Yeah, boiler room's a better word. Yeah.
But do you know what a boiler room is?
It boils.
Yeah. Sure, like for all your boiling water needs.
I think so. There's a movie called Boiler Room. I don't care for that.
Is it like that where like you heat the building? But I would doubt that like Alcatraz heated the shit for the inmates. They didn't give a shit.
It's a boiler related to heating steam generating equipment.
So they were like making steamboats and shit.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Cool scene though.
Yeah, so they
okay, a great so they, area to like arrive in Alcatraz.
Yeah, so they like they jump from the choppers and they like scuba dive to this point where Sean Connery knows an entrance. So they like, but basically like there's only a door into the room they're in, right? There's not a way. They don't know how to get out. So they all think they're stuck and they're like, damn this Sean Connery fella.
He betrayed us again.
But how incredibly badass it is the way he gets out of that room.
Oh my god, so I don't think it made any sense.
I don't think it did either. So basically the plan, so basically he like barrel rolls through flames to get to the other side.
That is exactly what he does. Why were flames there after 30 years of Alcatraz not being a thing? I don't fucking know, but it was cool, goddammit.
Yeah, it was. So yeah, they're like, oh, he just killed himself, and like, we're fucked. And then he pops in the door, and great fucking line. You know what this line is?
What was the line for this one?
He opens the door and says, "Welcome to the Rock," but in his Sean Connery accent.
Yes. And in a way, only Sean Connery can.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome as hell. He's just like, yeah, what are you saying?
I have a question that I'm sure you might probably can't answer, but his accent, is that like a town in England that just everybody talks like Sean Connery, or is that just him?
I believe he's Scottish.
Or Scottish.
I think it's a Scottish accent.
It sounds like in between a Scottish and an English accent.
Maybe.
Almost.
Either way, it's perfect.
It's a great fucking line. Because, again, you're throwing the name of the movie into a line. That's always a winner. It never not works.
It always works. So they like, are going through, like, these tunnels underground, Alcatraz.
The tunnel system, which, yeah, I mean, if you're gonna escape Alcatraz, you're gonna go through some tunnels. That's mm-hmm. how you do it.
And so they're gonna go to the shower room to like infiltrate the actual above ground part is their plan. But they like they really fuck this quite badly.
I don't think we can harp enough. This plan is not a good one. I don't think they thought this out well. Yeah, they fucked it up super badly.
So they're going to the tunnels, and then their plan is to go to the shower room. It's still not clear to me what their plan was going to be at that point, but regardless, they fuck up the shower room real bad.
Super fucking bad.
They trip a motion sensor, which is pretty clearly like right there, and they just ignore it.
Or they like try to work around it. You know, he sticks the things through the drain.
Oh, that's right, because they're trying to disable it.
Yeah, but they didn't
at all. But it like it trips when they looked at it.
Yeah, like, they like put something in front of the laser to like not trip it, but like that's the thing that trips a sensor is when you move in front of it. This is basic knowledge.
This plan was piss poor.
It was horrible. They were like, yeah, it didn't make any goddamn sense.
Anyway, they get completely ambushed in the shower, which is, like, conveniently set up for an ambush.
Very convenient. The last place you want to go above ground is the shower room.
Yeah, because there's just, like, you know, there's, like, perches where I assume maybe guards would have been.
Yeah, they have the upper ground for sure.
Yeah.
And the villains do.
So the villains, like, ambush them in the shower room, and it's a fucking massacre. And you know, and you see some of the general's humanity, because he's very upset about this, because he didn't want to kill more military.
Yeah, there's like a standoff, you know.
Yeah.
And like, didn't it like at one point, like when the shooting started, it was accidental or something.
Yeah, it got just so tense, and someone fired one bullet, and then it was just all bullets.
Yeah.
But not everyone went up.
No, not everyone.
Three people actually did not make it up before the ambush, and that would be Sean Connery, Nick Cage, and a third guy who, out of his valor, decides to go up after everyone's been massacred.
Like a fucking dumbass.
And then proceeds to immediately get killed. Yeah, piss poor.
Yeah, not a smart move, dude. Like, yeah. I figured like a SEAL team would be smarter than that.
Not the SEAL team. The SEAL team who trips the motion sensor and then runs into an ambush and then
it doesn't surrender when they don't have the high ground.
Yeah, it was just a mess. It was just a mess. But Nick Cage and Sean Connery get away, and Sean Connery just wants to like leave. He's like, this whole thing's fucked.
The gruesome twosome.
But can't leave because there's stakes. Nick Cage has a pregnant girlfriend in the city.
Sean Connery has a daughter.
He has a daughter. He can't leave.
That's called good writing. You're setting that up earlier, and it comes back. That's good writing.
Great writing.
Yeah, take notes.
So then their plan is they're just going to disable all the bombs. Somehow they know how many there are. Was that ever explained?
No.
Because there's 12, right?
Not even a little bit.
Nick Cage is like, there's 12 of these things. We have to disable them one by one. So that's their plan.
I didn't even think about that.
They use the tunnels. And at first, the villains don't know that, like, two got away. They assume they killed all of them.
Yeah.
So they kind of have that advantage. So they're going around, they're disabling these things. And Sean Connery's just a general badass. But also has, like, great British humor. You know, he has that British wit.
He's doing it all. He's doing a lot of heavy lifting in this movie.
Oh, he explains why he was imprisoned.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember the specific scene, but he gives it away slowly throughout the movie, you know? Is this when we find out about, like, JFK and whatnot?
Yeah, so he stole this, like, microfilm, I believe is what they call it, that has, like, all of the U.S.'s most closely guarded secrets on it.
Yeah. And it's, like, from Nixon, right?
Something like that, yeah. And it was while he was, like, he was a British operative. He refused to give it up when he was captured. And he, like, hid it or something. And then that's why they imprisoned him. And they, like, imprisoned him, like, illegally, basically. Because they no one knew he existed. Because he was that kind of operative.
They, like, abducted an ally operative. It was, like, kind of, like, crazy.
Yeah. So they plant that seed. They introduce the microfilm.
Yeah.
Come back later. They run into trouble eventually. Like, the general's men just figures out that there's a couple stragglers.
Because the gun's missing from the dude that died.
And yeah.
When they took the gun, I thought to myself, don't take the gun, they're going to know. And then I thought to myself, it's a Michael Bay movie, who gives a shit? But it came back. It was relevant.
There's that awesome scene with, like, the mine. For some reason, there's a mine in Alcatraz. Do you remember this? Where they ran on, like, the rail cart?
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah, there's, like, a gunfight scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make any fucking sense, but it was really cool.
Where is that in Alcatraz? I don't understand where that was.
Why would you have a gold mine on a fucking rock in the middle of the bay?
It's perfect. That's why.
Yeah. It's peak Michael Bay. It just makes no goddamn sense. Very cool scene, though. It was entertaining.
Yeah. So when they get the general's men are, like, tracking them down, you know, throughout the tunnels. So they decide to split up, and, you know, Sean Connery's going to handle the guys or, like, stall for time. Then Nicolas Cage only has, like, a couple left to defuse, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they have to save his daughter and his pregnant girlfriend. And then there's, like, that awesome scene where Sean Connery just, like, walks right into their hands.
Yes. It was high key, very badass.
High key.
Yeah. And he just does it so, like, cocky and arrogantly, you know?
Because he knows he's not a killer.
Yeah, he knows what's up. And he knows he's going to be fine. Like, he can get out of any situation. He's going to be good.
They made that abundantly clear.
Yeah.
The time is also about to run out of the 36 hours. The government has decided that they are going to bomb Alcatraz.
Just blow it to fucking ashes.
Meanwhile, there still are the 80 the 81 hostages are still there.
Like, okay, we can either pay this money that is literally pennies to the government.
It was from,
or
slush,
we could kill 81 civilians.
The money was in a secret slush fund. It wasn't even like, it's not even like directly public dollars. Like, no one would have to know.
Yeah, nobody would fucking know. But they literally don't give a shit about 80 people. Which, again, aged incredibly well. Like, you're goddamn right the government would do this.
And these, like, these airstrikes would include this, like, this, they call it, like, a plasma or something that, like, they believe would neutralize the gas. Like, the poison part. But the other thing that they bring up, because that comes up actually pretty much in the beginning, like, the general brings it up in his original negotiations where he's like, I know, like, we have the VX gas, I know you guys are testing that thing, but it's not gonna work. They don't know if it's gonna work to, like, stop the gas. Like, they could just be blowing it up and not containing it, right? They talk about how it's still in testing, and they don't know.
Crazy! Because, like, what if they blew up the island, and then a gust of wind carries that to San Francisco, and you kill the whole city? just it's recklessness.
It's incredibly reckless. So 36 hours are almost up. And since Nick Cage is, like, a master of defusing bombs and shit, he's, like, taking out the guiding chips from the bombs, because I'm sure that's a component of all bombs.
Of course.
And so they're all,
it's always going to be in a convenient micro trip.
Yeah. What's the thing from the fucking from Spider-Verse? That he calls the goober.
Yeah.
It's the goober of this movie. So yeah, so, like, they wouldn't reach their destination. They would, like, they would just fall into the bay, I guess. And then, so there's some weird actions by the general here. So they hit the 36 hours, and, like, all his men are like, it's time to shoot the bomb. Which is a little strange to me.
Yes.
Why they want to kill everyone.
No, okay. I mean, if you're going to make threats, you got to follow through.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that, like, yeah, I agree.
The thing that doesn't make sense, though, is in, like, a cult, like, fat, like, group like this is, because it's kind of like a group, cult, you know, and, like, in a radicalized group like this, the leader is usually the most hardcore one. The leader is not going to have the doubts.
Yeah.
You know, like, Ed Harris would be the one, like, it would be, like, the people following Ed Harris in a normal situation would be like, should we do this? Should we kill all of San Francisco? It wouldn't be the leader. The leader's the one that got them this far.
The other thing that was weird to me about this, so they end up firing one of the missiles, because Nick Cage hasn't gotten to, like, he has two more, and he didn't get to one, so they launch one of them.
Yeah.
And they target it at, like, the football stadium, you know, and it is Candlestick, which was, like, a nice little detail.
Throwback.
So it's like the missile's going, and then you see Ed Harris type on a keyboard, and the missile turns around and, like, you know, goes into the bay. And all his men are pissed because they know he called it off. Why didn't he just say that it was like a, because, like, at that point he's just like, fuck this, it was a bluff. Like, they called our bluff and we're fucked.
Yeah, no, 100%.
He could have easily
the first conversation was like, "Hey, we're doing this, but it's all a bluff. We're not actually going to kill anybody."
Yeah, so that also, yeah, that should have been established up front. But also, like, he could have very easily played that off as like, "That's just a warning. We'll give you another 24 hours or whatever," right? Like that.
Oh, that's 100%.
Negotiating 101. Like, look at us. We pressed go on this bomb. You want to try us? Like, pay the money. Because the point is the money. It's like after 36 hours, I think this is what's killing me. They wanted the money. After 36 hours, his men didn't care about the money anymore, and they just wanted to kill everyone in San Francisco.
That's so true. Yeah. They turned pure evil. Which is not how it works.
And Ed Harris is like, well, they called our bluff. Time to pack it in, boys.
Yeah, none of it made any sense.
Oh, man.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's so true.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, he's going to say, like, he's going to tell the government, like, that's just a warning. But then he was just like, we bluffed and they called it. And it's like, what?
They won this one. Goddamn those governments.
It's like the 36 hours are up, therefore we cannot get the money, and the money is dead, we have to kill everyone or do nothing. That was like how they approached it.
Yeah. And Harris is like, we gave it our best chance, let's go home and have some supper, you know?
so they mutiny, essentially, and they end up killing Ed Harris, and Nick Cage is like peering outside in the window as that standoff goes down. And so as Hummel is dying, because he didn't want to kill anyone, apparently, because this was all a bluff that he told no one.
Yeah.
Because he's a bad leader. This is like I was
one, you go over the plan instead of doing it after you start the plan. And you say how far we're going to go.
And day two, introduce everyone before you start the first three steps of the plan. But Hummel tells him where the last rocket is, so Nick Cage knows where to go to like disable it.
I'm gonna be honest, I was sad when Ed Harris died a little bit. He was a really good character.
And then so the jets, but they hear the jets coming, the jets to kill the 81. At this point though, they're only killing like three terrorists and 81 civilians.
You're so fucking right.
Including two of the men who are on the mission to stop them. So he disables the rocket like at the last minute, and he ends up killing like the final two terrorists who like overthrew the general. But one of the rockets from the government's attack on its own people does get fired, and like it sends him into like he jumps to the ocean, you know.
Yeah.
But he was able to like he was like telling him to call off the attack, so they like they got the message. They just won. They only bombed their own civilians once.
And this is a really cool scene. It looks really cool. Like Nicolas Cage has the flare guns, and like you're looking at him like kneeling and like waving it to get their attention.
Because that was a signal, right? Like you send up the flares, and we know the job's done or something.
Yeah, like it was a really cool looking scene, and then like you hear it in like the air, like the pilot is like, "Oh, it's too late. We already hit the button."
But they only sent one missile.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nicolas Cage survives missile strike because he's that goddamn cool.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, Nicolas Cage is in the bay, and then Sean Connery brings him to shore, right? Because he like dives in the water because he's fucking Sean Connery.
He's the coolest goddamn person in the world.
And they save the city and the 81 hostages. And then when the FBI shows up, well, before the FBI shows up, Nicolas Cage lets Sean Connery go and be a free man, you know?
Yeah. Lies to the government so he can escape.
Right, yeah. So then when the FBI shows up, he just tells them that he died in the blast or something. Yes, he said something to that effect. But he actually got away. But before Sean Connery left him, he told him to go to fucking a church in the middle of Kansas. I didn't understand why it had to be there.
Because that was because you got to get to middle America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to get in touch with the roots.
What will he find? What will he find at this church in middle America?
He will find all of the secrets that Sean Connery has discovered from the United States government.
Mm-hmm.
What put him in jail for so long?
Right, And it is awesome. He's like going through it, and he's like, it's the aliens and JFK.
Yeah. Hey, honey, you want to know who killed JFK?
Yeah, I think, is that the last line of the movie?
Yeah, that is the last line of the movie. That is, it's such a good way to go out.
Yeah, and then it goes to credits. It's awesome. It's just a fun, it's a rollicking time.
Oh, it was a blast of, what, 2 hours and 15 minutes?
Yeah. So we will talk more about some fun facts and some other tidbits about this movie next week. But yes, The Rock, it was very fun. And it is at time of recording on Hulu.
Yes.
If anyone wanted to watch it. We should probably start saying that in the future. It's almost always a streaming movie because we don't want to fix shit.
Yeah, I think The Witch is the only one that wasn't.
Yeah. That was, but we had to, you know, it was spooktacular. We had to live deliciously.
We live deliciously, absolutely. Celebrate the month of this show.
Right. All right, I think that'll wrap up the main part of episode 86, The Rock Part 1. Do you have a fuck this thing?
I do. I gotta bring up my app though. So if you're ready to go,
I'll do mine. I'll do my computer mouse. The scrolling part is dying. It's not an expensive mouse, but it's just a bummer nonetheless because I scroll.
That is a bummer. You kind of grow attachment to a mouse, you know?
Yeah. So it's
the new just, one won't be the same.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's just, you know, it's end of an era, really.
Yeah, end of an era. You gonna hold a funeral?
Yeah. Although we were talking about phones, I think this mouse lasted about as long as an iPhone, and it was $10. So
officially better than the iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, I bought the same one. I just ordered it like before we started recording. So. So they literally still make them like they used to 2 years ago.
Gotta love it.
What is your fuck this thing?
Cutting my nails. I don't like the process.
You did this last. And then, you did this last episode.
I did. All right, God. That's fine because I'm ready.
How does this happen? Do you like put it on the list after you say it? I'm just so confused.
Oh man, this other one I'm kind of nervous because I feel like I've already said it before. Conservatives. But I mean, obviously, like okay. They're a big reason this country has gone to hell. But that's not the reason I'm saying that.
Okay.
I think trucks are really cool, and they've kind of made trucks and like country music and like other stuff like very like, oh, that's the conservative thing to do now.
Yeah.
And that sucks because trucks are cool, but every time I see a truck, I'm like, oh, that dude's probably a Trump supporter. Fuck him. But I like trucks. And that might be maybe I'm just a prejudice against truck owners. I don't know. Maybe I need to work through that. But trucks are cool, and I feel like they've taken that. And like country music, I like country music, some of it. But I also like that is also like, you know, like they've co-opted a few things that kind of bullshit.
Isn't that the whole thing with like Casey Musgrave?
Yeah, I thought of this listening to Casey Musgrave earlier today, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, because like, yeah, there's just like a bunch of stigmas with things that should be totally fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, they ruined. it's not enough that they ruined, you know, voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
they had
the
to ruin
courts.
Trucks too. Yeah, they had to ruin democracy.
They ruined the CMAs.
The I'll real travesty.
Yeah, I guess Taylor Swift is also country music for good, even though she's not really country music anymore. I don't know.
She was at one point, yeah, and she's a good person. Feels like.
Brad Paisley is too. It doesn't feel
really?
Like it, but he very much
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
He's
one of my favorite country artists recently put out an album, and one of the songs was like, it was about liberals being on their high horse. And I guess we do, but it was a bummer him writing a song about it.
Okay, well, Brad Paisley performed at the White House for Obama.
That's a good sign.
Maybe I'm thinking of Keith Urban. Yeah, Keith Urban's the one who's actually Australian.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes me like him.
I think it is Brad Paisley, though. Brad Paisley is, like, not... is country music for neutral. He made a duet with LL Cool J.
What a weird combo.
Paisley sings about how he finds himself caught between Southern pride and Southern blame. Wow.
Oh, I'd read that article.
Well, it's a song, which makes it seem weirder.
Okay, I would listen to that song, I guess. I don't know if I know any Brad Paisley songs. I'm not, I was talking about country music. I'm not a huge country music fan, but I do like some of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Keith Urban's Australian, which is quite weird, I find.
Down under.
All right. That is that. This is our last episode before the election.
Oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, we're presently still a couple weeks away from us. When this comes out, it is 2 days. Really a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well. Yeah, good luck. Good luck. good luck if you're listening and it's done. Or if it's not done, but
well, it wouldn't be done. It's in a day or whatever.
Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, if they're listening a couple days after, you know.
That's true. That's very true. I don't even think about that. Yeah. Well, we'll see how this ages.
yeah.
I remember when you write it in, it's KANYE. Don't misspell it.
NYE. What's KAN?
I'm just gonna wait for you to actually figure out what I just spelled. I'm not gonna say it.
Oh my fucking god. I literally had to write it down to understand. Yes, KANYE. Kanye.
Did he ever pick a running mate?
I don't know. He must have, though. But
he's running.
Oh, he does. He's telling people to ride him in. 100%. That happened like a week ago.
Running mate. He does have a running mate. It is Michelle Tidball.
Who is that?
A Christian preacher from Wyoming.
Jesus fucking Christ. All those words are awful.
I can't believe you didn't pick, like...
I was hoping you'd pick, like, a Jay-Z or, like, some other famous
person.
Yeah, like
Big Sean or something. Yeah.
Yeah, a Big Sean. I'd vote for that ticket, if only for that one song.
Right. Okay. We end this. This is episode 86. Good luck electing. We're making the next episode, so when the apocalypse strikes, we'll still have some content, at least.
Yeah. You'll have another hour of pretending our world doesn't exist.
Right. These are from the... We should have disclaimers. Like, these are from the happy times. It's not even happy times, but it's not the worst times yet. Okay. Fuck.
You got this. I believe in you.
Oh, conservatives for ruining trucks. and country music. And then fuck my computer mouse for dying.
Fuck them all.